Let's also touch upon the future landscape before we conclude this, right? So we've seen what kind of trends have been there, right, from cyber security to agility. Let's just quickly touch upon what the landscape looks like. We have identified six odd areas where the futuristic view currently is, and as I mentioned, this can change over time. So let's look at what these are. The first one which is in the offering is like from a single vendor to a multi-vendor outsourcing model, right? So earlier it was like you have one vendor engagement for one particular kind of delivery, right? Now you are seeing the need for requiring support of service providers under majority of instances. The organizational construct is a little small and most of the work gets outsourced. So if you look at the recent organization setup, you won't see huge factory setups with hundreds and thousands of people. Today, organizations are run from, I would say, a small, very small office or even from homes. So what is happening here? How are these organizations delivering? They have services from multiple service providers, right? They may have or may not have any in-house expertise as well, right? If I am largely dependent, say, for an IT service, I have A engagement. For HR service, I have B engagement, right? So I am using multiple services, right? So the need for engaging with multiple vendors is important or required to get the best output. So as I mentioned earlier it was like, let us have this entire factory or industry set up, and then we, for just this one particular activity which we can't do well, let us outsource, right? So that's not the case now. It's like offices are running from homes, and it is only this multiple engagements which are helping, I would say, serve the cause in terms of not having the need to get everybody to the office, right? So this is movement is there from a single vendor to a multi-vendor approach, right? The second one, interestingly, is again which we talked about in the trend as well, towards cloud computing and SaaS, right? So SaaS, if you remember, software as a service offering, which we discussed under cloud computing, right? So what, just to touch base again on it, what happens in SaaS, you have the software available as a service. You don't need to bother or worry about what platform or infrastructure it is running under. From an IT perspective, it is like your emails, right? You are not, or you see, you are transparent to what kind of server is set up, what license is used, or what hardware it is running upon. It is purely the service, right? So people, or I would say the need across is for SaaS kind of applications, right? As a de facto norm, where I don't need to bother about what's behind it. Because what happens, the behind setup again has a lot of nuances in itself in terms of procurement, maintenance, upgradation, right? So SaaS is for sure a futuristic landscape, and as the example we saw of email, organizations earlier had servers in their server rooms to run the email setups, right? It was like you have an Lotus Notes or an Outlook server in the company, and that server has multiple clients where you access. Today, you are accessing your email client from your laptop directly to the internet, right? So that's the beauty of SaaS. You don't need any intervention locally, right? So that is a futuristic trend. And the cloud model, as we discussed in the trends, the pay as you go model. So for sure, finances are tough in today's time. Investing a huge amount in doing a setup for the organization, getting skilled resources, managing, maintaining it, again doing a hardware refresh after 3 years or 5 years, that takes a lot of time and effort. So these are good for very large organizations who have the capacity to invest. Also, they may be good for business critical organizations where the data is prime, like the financial domains, right? But otherwise, cloud platform is, I would say, a way to go model. And the anticipation is most of the organizations would have their setup on the cloud, right, rather than having it in-house, right? So if you look at both in combination, cloud computing and SaaS is a complementary, I would say, a service available on the cloud, right? So that's where the futuristic view is on cloud computing and SaaS. Next one, on co-sourcing, right? So co-sourcing will be the norm, right? So you saw that you are now in the earlier one, you are now dependent on multiple service providers to give you that level of service. And a single provider may not be able to help or meet all the requirements. So what would happen is it can get into a model of co-sourcing, which is getting the best of the breed from each of the requirements, right? So what will happen is the service providers may support each other in terms of trying to give you that offering, right? And what is happening is they share also that risk. So this co-sourcing can be, I would say, offered as a consortium or group as well. It's like you engage one service provider and he willingly offers you or recommends you other service providers who are in that chain of business offering, right? So it's like I go to buy an electronic good from a shop, and he then also attaches you or is offering an insurance provider's service on that particular laptop. So while you had the need for insurance, it's available for you probably at a bundled best price, and both are supportive of each other, right? Then you can have a third person in terms of offering extended warranty or support, right? So this is how, that's at a smaller level, but this is how core sourcing appears to be. And at a larger level, it makes a huge difference because it helps you in getting references or service providers who have engaged with each other and have, I would say, a fairly good idea of supporting each other. Moving ahead, the next one we see in the landscapes, and this is what we discussed under cloud computing as well. The SMEs and startups will lead the consumer zone for this industry, right? So the SMEs, the small and medium enterprises and startups. So these organizations are technically smaller in size, and they are categorized as SMEs and startups. SMEs specifically have a categorization of turnover, a particular turnover, and which is why they are in that bracket. And then startups generally don't have too much of capital also to, I would say, zoom off in business. So these organizations, obviously, in order to catch up with business or grow with the growing market, these organizations will largely be the ones looking at engaging, right? And your ready solutions from service providers, this is what will help build this organization. These are smaller ones, so they will obviously want to look at cost effective solutions with minimal capital expenditure. And if you link the earlier ones, if a service provider is offering standardized services, he will be able to offer it at a lower cost, right? So these offerings then become ideal for such startups who are, I would say by and large, they would start with the standard offerings, right? They, because they are small, they would not look at huge customization, because that customization will take time, it will consume time, it may take time to set up, test, and they are not into an existing huge business which will help them sustain. So sustenance is will be a cost to them, so it will be difficult for the smaller organizations. So these organizations will look at standard services, off-the-shelf services to move ahead in business. The cloud offering is the easiest and simplest example for these startups. They don't need to invest in hardware or capital expenditure, right? These orgs can utilize the vendor services, and I would say, as we saw, the core focus to work on the business aspect and not the process aspect. The basic, I would say, the prime benefit of outsourcing, which helps you focus on the core business activity. So this works well here. These orgs can use these services for meeting the business requirements and keep their sustained focus on the core, I would say, business aspect to grow. So that's another trend, futuristic landscape which is there. Next one is outcome-based outsourcing, right? So why this has changed to outcome-based, right? So if you remember the setup models, which we saw in the earlier chapters, right? You had a model where you were looking at sharing. If you remember the pain and gain share, right? Where you were ready to share the profit as well as loss. So that's one area. But here, the sensitivity more is on the return on investment. Again, largely applying to the newer setups or the startups, right? What is happening is it's a startup, smaller organization, lesser capital, and they have a business plan and idea which they want to capitalize on, right? Now, what they would be looking at is if they are doing that kind of investment, right? In that particular service provider's offering, they would want to be sure that they are going to have adequate return on investment, right? So outcome-based outsourcing is something which is also catching up, right? Because what happens is, if it is a normal outsourcing where I say, this is an A process, I want you to run this process, the service provider doesn't have any skin in the game to say it, right? So he will say, fine, this is a process, I'm doing it. It is not giving you a gain or expected outcome in terms of business value is not my lookout, right? So which is where the smaller firms like are at higher risk, like. So what they will look at is they will want to discuss with the service providers, right, on a realization out of that contract and not just handling a process, right? They would say that they have an A business idea and they feel this particular process can help achieve that idea. Service provider is skilled in that process, so he will say, I can do that process. But because it doesn't have skin in the game, he would not be liable for the success of that process in the business end business objective. So these guys would then look at getting into contracts which can help them get a realization out of that investment. It's like this process should be done in a manner that it is supportive to the end goal being required. So this is some new trend which is catching up. So everything, if you see, all these landscapes are essentially linking to the cost aspect. Money is becoming dearer and dearer. So people are looking at, firms are not looking at investing heavily like earlier times. They want to invest probably smartly. They want to ensure that the investments are done with the kind of stakeholders who are willing to work on the concept as well and not just as a monotonic process. So that's outcome-based outsourcing. Automation and AI, the next one, right? So as we discussed earlier, the reliance on AI to help speed up business is growing, right? Firms, organizations are looking at minimizing any manual intervention. So if you look at the larger setups where you had a huge team of people carrying out support activities, and for example, say a team of 30, and you are able to, with automation, reduce that team size from 30 to say 25. Five resources multiplied by the cost of handling them, managing them, motivating them, taking care of them, the infrastructure required for them can make a huge difference, right? So firms are looking at automation, and why? The reason is not just cutting down on manpower. The reason is cutting down on the cost, right? This cost is one. Second is, if the response is standard, it doesn't need any intellect, makes no sense in having a human do that, right? It's better to have that human work on programming aspect or probably enhancement aspect, right? So, and this is what happens is under automation, the beauty of automation is that there is standardization available. You have an output which is standard. You won't have a difference in quality in terms of what the output is, right? So it's primarily how you configure these things, and these are basically helping enhanced user experience. Automation and AI, largely, users are pretty happy to get instant responses to regular issues. They have linkages to repositories. They for sure can reach out to manual person as well. Simple example, if you have been observing this, is your telecom operators, right? So if you remember erstwhile, the call used to directly go to a human agent, right? If I am using a service provider, for example, say Airtel or Vodafone, and I called up their service center, probably say 10 years back, I would be sure that a person would respond to that after the first level of language classification, whether it's English or Hindi, right? And then that agent would run through 20 questions that he would have, trying to narrow down what kind of user I am and what plan I have and what issue I have. Today, when you dial that telecom service provider, you are largely on an automated response, right? The automated response will throw up options, narrow you down, and even raise a ticket for you for resolving your problem. So the calls can go automated without any human intervention, and that particular system can raise a ticket internally if it is needed against your particular issue or for somebody to resolve. For example, let me take another example of the internet cable service, right? So if you dial, for example, take Hathway as an example, they have an automated system which can give you a ticket number at the end of the call and pass on that ticket to the technical team in terms of a technical issue and requiring a person's involvement, technical involvement. So the entire process has gone automated, right? And if I compare over what was there earlier, I feel it is easier to respond to the automated system rather than answering questions, right? because A, it's faster. B, because it's fast, it saves time. And C, I have options which I can quickly choose, right, on the click of button. So that's where automation comes into play. So to summarize, in this, I would say concluding chapter, we have seen the trends in the BPO industry. We have seen what the future landscape looks like, right? So if you remember, BPO was synonymous with call centers in the 1990s, right? And that was a thought that people had about BPOs. But today, the function has become advanced in fields of digitalization, social media, and it is relying heavily on technologies like cloud, RPA, AI, and ML, right? So this industry has successfully, I would say, survived times like the corona pandemic, where if you've observed in the entire pandemic situation, this particular industry has been able to offer the services. So you have had a continuity of service here, and this has built confidence with most of the recipients and customers, right, that it is possible with certain automation, I would say a mix, a blend of technology and agility at work, to be successful in the engagement. So this is where we conclude all our chapters. There are two more chapters in the book. The next one is on case studies. So there are a couple of case studies that have been mentioned. And then there is a full chapter on IDS Infotech, which is one of the leading, I would say, players in this industry. They are based out of Northern India. And if you read through the content and their offerings, you will see that they have a nice adaptation to the basic framework that we have defined in this book, right? The reason for choosing them was you can see that, and I have been personally there to their office also. I've seen their centers and even met with their customers. So you will see that they have a blend of offerings which are standard, offerings which are 100% customized, right? Offerings which are linked to the upcoming technology. So it's a very, I would say, very, very good case study to refer to. You can refer their website as well, right? So I hope these sessions have been useful to you all. As I mentioned earlier, the content is provided to you for having a base reference and a template to build an understanding. And every, I would say, activity on ground in terms of actual work, we'll have some customization or probably variation depending on what kind of business it is being used at, what is the strategy and why it should be done, right? So thank you all for your time, and happy learning on this subject. Thank you.